Is Christ welcome in this church? One day the disciples were walking with Jesus and they were discussing among themselves who was the greatest of them, who was the most important to the ministry, who was the most gifted, who was the most valued by Jesus, who is the greatest. Seeing that his friends were arguing, knowing that they were much more interested in power and prestige than they were in serving, Jesus tells them that in order to be great, they have to serve. And then he takes a little child into his arms, and he tells them that whenever they welcome a little child, they welcome him. Jesus said to those disciples long ago, says to you and me today, whenever you welcome a child, whenever you welcome a stranger, whenever you welcome someone who is excluded, whenever you welcome one another, you welcome me, which is to welcome God. You see, to welcome someone, to treat someone with love and acceptance, friendship and honor is to welcome Christ, and the opposite is also true. To exclude someone, to reject someone, to ignore someone, is to exclude, reject, or ignore Christ. Well, children and youth, they are very welcome and wanted in this congregation. They are respected, cherished, active participants in our faith community. In fact, they often lead us and inspire us in mission and social justice and spiritual energy. At baptism and confirmation, we lift each one of them up and in a special way say to them, God welcomes you, and so do we. We understand that a church that does not welcome its young people will not be long in ministry. And even more important, young people who do not feel important and included in church will seek that recognition and that acceptance somewhere else. Children and young people need the welcome of the church. And it's really easy for us to welcome them when they are willing to participate in ways that are comfortable for us adults, when they are quiet and respectful and helpful, when they play phenomenal music like our young people just did. But our young people also need to know the love and respect and honor and welcome of the church when they are noisy or distracting or expensive. And when they challenge us and react against the way we do things and give us input we might not want to hear, we need to be willing to listen to them and learn from them even as we guide and mentor them. Our gospel lesson. It calls us to honor children and young people, to welcome them, and in so doing, that is welcoming Christ. And that was a profound statement for Jesus to make in his day when children had very little rights and were to be seen and not heard. The welcome that all of us are called to express, it extends to other people too. To strangers, to outsiders, to the needy, to those excluded, to the elderly, to those with handicaps of any kind, to those whom society and even the church treats unequally, to all of the world's people. Think of Matthew chapter 25, where Jesus tells us that the good we do for, the welcome we extend to others, is how we welcome Jesus himself. And whenever we don't welcome someone else, whenever we don't include, whenever we exclude, we are doing that same thing to Jesus. I'm reminded of a time where a woman came into a house where Jesus was dining, and that woman began washing Jesus' feet, and she washed his feet with her own hair. Jesus praised her for her warm welcome, and he compared it to the cold reception the Pharisees had given him. You see, genuine and heartfelt welcome was honored and affirmed and lifted up by Jesus. The early church had two powerful messages to proclaim. The first was the gospel, the good news that God loves us and wants to be in a relationship with us, that God can take our sin and our brokenness and through Christ heal us and restore us, forgive us, and connect us with God and each other. And the second message that early church proclaimed was the power of community. People observed in their lives what Christian community was all about, and that's why the church grew so rapidly. People observed a rich and real community where people shared resources and cared for each other, where people's needs and feelings were honored, where there was trust, where injustices were righted and named, and where the world was made better and individual lives were better because the church was there. Christian community. It's about loving and being loved. It's about knowing and being known. It's about serving and being served. It's about including and being included. It's about challenging and being challenged. It's cherishing each other and knowing that we are cherished exactly as we are. That's what welcome looks like. Are you experiencing that kind of welcome in your life in a deep way? Are we as a congregation in our words and in our attitudes and in our actions saying to each other and to those within and outside the walls of our church, are we saying, come and be a part of this community where you will be known and you will know others, where you will be loved and given opportunity to love, where you will be held accountable for your words and actions and belief and be called to hold other people accountable, where you will be cherished and will cherish others, where you will serve and be invited to serve, where you will be a part of changing the world. Do we live that powerful message of Christian community in such a way that others are drawn to it and want to join in? What messages are we in this church sending others about what Christian community is like? And so we come now to the question with which we began. Is Christ welcome here? Are we a place of radical hospitality? Are we a place that rights injustices? Are we a place that includes all people no matter what it costs? Or do people see petty disagreements or a need to have entitlements? Some time ago, there was this wonderful picture in Good Housekeeping magazine. It was a photograph of the entrance to a small town. And the town had posted this huge, attractive, attention-getting welcome sign at the very entrance to the town. It said, "Welcome to the town of Annandale," in big, bold letters. But right behind the welcome sign, in full view on the one-way street, was a large "Do Not Enter" sign. Welcome, but do not enter. It kind of reminds me of these signs. Do not enter. Automatic door, enter only. Not sure what you're supposed to do there. Welcome, but don't go left or don't go right. Don't go up or don't go down. Wrong way, don't enter, but welcome. In our church, do we ever say welcome, but put up do not enter signs? Do we as individuals or as a congregation ever give this type of message? Do we describe ourselves as a welcome, inclusive community, say that we want to grow, genuinely want people to join us, but at the same time, sometimes intentionally, usually unintentionally, put up a variety of do not enter signs? And you know what? When there's a welcome sign and a do not enter sign, people are going to see the do not enter sign. Do we put up do not enter signs when someone challenges our way of doing things or has new ideas or when our preferences aren't the focus? Do we put up do not enter signs when we are taken out of our comfort zone, when we're asked to change, when a tradition we love is replaced by something new, when someone sits in our pew? When we are called to take actual action on what we proclaim to believe. Do we put up do not enter signs when someone finds fault with something we've said or done, or points out that we really aren't as inclusive, hope-filled, and healing as we like to think we are? To be a truly welcoming congregation has a lot to do with our starting assumption. If we start with the assumption that we are here in this church primarily to have our needs and preferences and desires met, then we're probably not going to grow much spiritually or numerically. We won't grow deep or wide. But if we start with the assumption that our main purpose for being here is to serve, love, and worship God, and to invite others into a life-saving, life-changing relationship with God in Christ in ways that change the way the very world works, if that's our assumption, then we're freed to be open to the needs and beliefs, the hopes and dreams of others. Our fears of change are lessened, as is our need for control. Then we can tolerate it, even celebrate it, when things aren't meeting our preferences, but we know they meet someone else's needs. And so we can find joy even in sacrifice because we know that someone is feeling welcome. Beloved ones, we have the most incredible story to share. A story about a God who loves us and accepts us unconditionally. And beloved ones, we have the most incredible calling, a calling to offer others the living, breathing, life-giving presence of Jesus Christ, which frees everyone who is captive, which offers everyone acceptance and welcome, which changes the world. The story is told of a small dog. This dog had been hit by a car and it was lying by the side of the road. It looked like it was dead. A man driving by noticed the dog and got out, and he could tell the dog was still alive. And so he picked up the dog and brought it in his car and took it home with him. When he got home, he noticed that though the dog had been stunned and it had suffered a few cuts and abrasions, otherwise it looked to be okay. And so he revived the dog, he cleaned the dog's wounds, and was carrying it from the house in the garage when the dog jumped from its arms and scampered off. The man didn't think much about it until the next day when he heard a scratching sound at his door. When he opened the door, there was the little dog he had treated, along with another injured dog. Here is the good news. When we invite people to join us in mission and ministry, when we love people and help them find the healing and salvation of Christ, when we encourage them in joining with us to make a world a place where everyone is welcomed and loved with no exceptions, then they too will go from here to invite others to experience this same love and healing, this same welcome, this same world transformation. I pray that this church here on the hilltop is a place where you find healing and help and hope and purpose. I pray that this church is the first place you come when you need help and encouragement. And then I pray that you bring others here to Jesus, the great healer, the great hope giver, the purpose maker. Above the doorway of a church in London, this prayer has been carved into stone. Listen to the words. O God, make the door of this house wide enough to receive all who need human love and fellowship, narrow enough to shut out all envy, pride, and strife. Make its threshold smooth enough to be no stumbling block to children nor to straying feet, but rugged and strong enough to turn back the tempter's power. God, make the door of this house the gateway to thine eternal kingdom. Will you join me in praying that prayer out loud right now? Oh God, Make the door of this house wide enough to receive all who need human love and fellowship, narrow enough to shut out all envy, pride, and strife. Make its threshold smooth enough to be no stumbling block to children nor to straying feet, but rugged and strong enough to turn back the tempter's power. God, make the door of this house the gateway to thine eternal kingdom. Will you pray this prayer this week? I'll put it in the weekly email that you'll get midweek. And together may we commit ourselves to living out its words. May the door of First United Methodist Church, the Coppertop, may it be a gateway to God's eternal kingdom. May others see how we live and how we live out our faith in such a way that it makes them want to join in. May it be so. Amen.